You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Jack, tell me a story.
Woo! Here we are on day 8,423 of the quarantine. If you're familiar with I Know It's Today from the musical Shrek, you would know that that's how long Fiona was stuck in her tower. And that means that this podcast is for you. Here's the thing. If we're still in this quarantine and we're still dick deep in self-isolation, thanks for spending this time with me. If we're out, you could be doing so many other things. I appreciate you listening to this podcast. Today we have Felicia Fitzpatrick, who is a hard get, but I got her. She is the Playbill social media manager. She hosts her own freaking podcast called Call and Response, which is like the intersectionality of blackness and theater, and it is beautiful, and you should subscribe right now because it's available on all platforms. She is, I feel like I see her more than my family at this point. I see her in every audience. I see her beautiful, natural, flowy curl fro in any theater that I'm in at all times. I can spot her in a group of people. I'm just gonna shut up. Because I just want you to hear what we talk about. Okay, thank you so much. Here she is, Felicia Fitzpatrick. Today we have Felicia here, whom I've already talked about extensively.
Honored.
Just reading your resume. Do you have a website? Do you have a thing? Okay, well, I'm just gonna regurgitate exactly what's on there so that no one goes to your website. I'm just kidding.
Give me those clicks. Go to the website.
It's just link in bio. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Besides my impending migraine and that's making me sip Pedialyte, I'm great.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I just like that you got the biggest bottle. You guys can't see it.
This was one size only at Duane Reade. It was like this or bust. But I like went to the gym and that like made the migraine go away a little bit. And then I was like, I need to do my electrolytes here so it doesn't like kick back. I don't know. I've been experimenting. I don't know if any of it works.
I've been experimenting. Period.
A mood.
A 2019.
20 by teen. You 20, know what I mean?
20 by teen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Hear it. Tell me on a Sunday. We're going to explore all the things. But we encourage people to tell their stories. And I feel like Felicia, being the ripe young age of how?
27.
27. We're the same age. Wow.
I'm going to be 28 in a month.
Soul sister. Oh, you're older than me. Okay. But still,
right now we're the same age.
But still, you know, I should not have revealed because my resume does not say that.
Oh,
I will be editing this.
Okay, bye.
The end. Thank you so much for coming.
I need the work.
I could just be another 40-something getting high school roles.
Yeah.
I say 40 now because it used to be 36, but we have raised that bar.
You're like Sutton Foster and younger. You know what I mean? Like, you could pretend you could be saying your choice if it's all really a ruse.
Do you have a good Sutton Foster story?
No.
Have you met her yet?
No. I haven't. Because she hasn't been on Broadway since I started working at Playbill.
And subtle plug. Because you work.
Because I work at Playbill. At Playbill on all social media platforms if you want to go ahead and give it a follow. No, and I didn't see her in Anything Goes because I did see it, but I saw it with Stephanie J. Block. Which is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, Damon saw her, and he's just infatuated, so then when he got to, like, work with her, it was like, of all the people, you know, you got Josh Radner, you got Rosie Perez, but he was like, Stephanie J. Block is on the show.
Hey-yo. Shout out.
But she's just a monster. She's so good.
I know, it's rude.
It's inconsiderate.
It's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful.
You know, just like, stop.
It's like, talented. We have all these, like, do you ever get in fights with people about who's the best Elphaba?
You know, I mean, we get in, like, discussions, mm-hmm. but I'm very open to everyone having their own experience because there was a long time where I was, like, very hardcore a fan of the Broadway Revival cast album version of A Chorus Line, and I love Charlotte Dambois.
Dumber.
Dambois. It's Dambois, not Dambois, right? Anyway, and my friend was a, like, Donna McKechnie or bust, which I get now.
Yeah, now you understand.
But, like, at the time, I was like, why can't we all just love what we want? So I just, like, maintained that ideology with Elphabuzz.
Oh, fair enough.
Do you know?
That's really diplomatic of you. Do you understand that you did not offend anyone in that moment? You understand?
I am a Hufflepuff. You know what I mean? You are. So we're being very fair and just. No, I mean, but also the other thing is, too, it's like, if you think about all of those iconic roles, which I don't even know I'm going on this tangent, but like with Gypsy, like people just have emotional attachments to certain actors, or like maybe they were the first one that, you know, whatever it is. So I'm like,
it's usually the first one you saw, or it's the one you listened to in high school.
Exactly.
That's Lorne Michaels' theory about Saturday Night Live, is whatever cast was on when you were in high school is usually your favorite cast.
I believe that.
Isn't it? See? That's a good theory. And I think that you could translate it for musical theater, because 100%. That's when you're totally forming your, like, oh my God, this person, like, they get me. Like, their voice gets me. And it's like, nobody gets you. No one gets you.
That's true, though.
You don't get you.
Well, not in high school.
Yeah. No. Not anymore. But we could play high school.
We could. Even though we're 36.
Beware. Broadway or off.
Hi, Kat.
Robin says hi. You guys haven't met her. You probably have if you look at anything I ever do. So tell me a story. Tell me a little story about how we met.
Okay, I love it. yes. Actually, you know, so we officially met through, I hate to give him a name drop, but Mark Pikert. I'm so annoyed that we have to bring him up, but he was crucial. Because he met you at the Rise premiere party, didn't he?
Yes.
And then he came back to me with a glass of wine in hand and was like, Felicia, I just met this girl and you're going to be obsessed with her. And I was like, I don't know. And then he was right. And then I was annoyed. It's like when your mom's right about something, you're like, damn it.
Yeah. But you would never tell her.
No. So we have to cut this out. Mark can't hear.
He's not going to listen to this.
Actually, he's probably not. I think he has me muted on Instagram.
My God.
Mark, please confirm. Anyways, but I feel like when we actually met was when you came for Instagram Live.
Yes, it was a live.
A live. Sorry, Instagram live. And you were so funny, and I was very intimidated because you were so funny, but like in a supportive way. I was like, good for her for being funny.
Oh, good for her. You know, like, good for her. She's under thriving. 5 foot. Good for her. I'm just a narcissistic bitch. That's why I wanted to just indulge myself and see how we met. But you do Playbill Live every week. You're the official host.
Me and Mark.
You don't understand. I had seen prior to that day you at a plethora of events, like hundreds of thousands, like so many on the streets, and I was so intimidated by you not because of anything you did. It's my own bullshit that I would be like, she's just so cool.
Oh my God, stop.
Like, I thought you were so cool.
Stop.
Because, and then I learned who you really were, and then I was like,
I mean, like, there's nothing to be intimidated about.
No, but it was so cool, because I was like, oh, cool. I'm glad that you are the way you are. It was really nice, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's funny that you say that, though, because I met Damon at Broadway Con 2016, the inaugural. The inaugural.
Yes, he's an opening number.
Yeah, exactly. And anytime I see a biracial kid, I'm like, who's that? I'm like, we should be friends. But she had light eyes. I was like, let's really be friends.
The one listener, Mark Pikert, Felicia is Felicia is biracial. Continue.
He's so loyal. Do you know what I mean? He just follows all the projects we do. Anyway, so when we met, we were chatting, and I think he'd been in Aladdin at that time or something.
Oh, yeah, you're on it. Mm-hmm.
And
it was the blizzard also, by the way.
It was the blizzard. The blizzard. It was an out-of-control slumber party, okay, with Broadway fans.
Yeah.
Which was kind of amazing, an epic way to kick it off. But he, at some point, he had mentioned his fiance, and I'm like, I don't know who she is, but she sounds delightful, because whatever he said about you, so I knew who you were before I met you.
That's so nice.
Not wild. Yeah.
If we could just look down on Earth and see all the times our paths crossed.
That would be crazy, though.
I think we could do that for a lot of people in our lives. Like, my friend has a theory that, like, we could just, and then as we end our lives, as our lives end, we can look down and be like, nah, man, I could have met that person all these times, which is probably the truth for us because of the worlds.
So true.
The worlds we live in. So true. So nice. You're another Southern Belle.
I have dressed up as a Southern Belle for Halloween before, I should say.
Truly?
Yeah.
Like a hoop skirt?
Yeah. It was lilac. Lavender.
I feel like you really rock purple.
It is my favorite color.
Okay, well, confirmed.
So confirmed. I'd like to think so.
But wow. Yes, Southern Belle.
Southern Belle.
I guess. I've never really claimed that identity, but I like it.
It's hard because it's always put with a lot of negative connotations with other things, which rightfully so. But at the same time, it's kind of like this beautiful, like, little pride thing that we can have.
Yeah. And I think the other reason, like, I don't necessarily claim it is because, like, I was born in Texas.
Right.
My mom's from Texas. My dad's from Florida. Like, my family is from the South. Mm-hmm. But I was technically raised on the West Coast.
Oh, where?
San Jose, California, and Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
Mostly, a little suburb of Portland, Oregon, that's actually in Washington State, called Vancouver. But I always say Vancouver, and people are like, you're Canadian? I'm like, no.
No.
So,
they don't know anything.
You know, I say, like, y'all, but I don't necessarily have, like, a Southern accent. And, like, I like biscuits and gravy, but, you know, there's just, like, certain nuances that I feel like I didn't get because I didn't grow up in the South. Or, like raised.
How you think a Southern person is raised. You're like, I didn't have that.
Yeah, but still, like, with my, I guess my mom has all of those Southern sensibilities, so she still instilled them. Mm-hmm. In me, even though right. I actually remember one time in California, I played soccer for like a week. It was a very long
week. I tried to picture that, and I don't know.
I know. I wanted to do it because of the uniform. Like, I thought the little uniforms and the shin guards were so cute.
Because it's a costume. We're trying to get to the real root of it.
I loved my prop work with the soccer ball.
Get your head in the game.
But, like, exactly. And, the reason I stopped soccer was because I shared the ball with the other team. Like we were taught in kindergarten, to be clear. But that was not what we were supposed to do in soccer. Anyway, after, like, the one soccer game that I played, I remember we were leaving the, like, field or whatever, and this lady asked me something, and I was like, yeah, and my mom was like, yes, ma'am, and she was like, this is California, you don't have to say that, and my mom was like, she's my daughter, yes, she does, and it was just, like, this whole thing. So there were moments like that.
Also, they don't have manners in California.
Confirmed, no.
Okay.
Like, but yeah, so, I mean, she definitely taught me those things, you know, no matter what state we were in.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so. Yeah. That's always funny to me. Like, when I was babysitting, when I first moved here, when I was babysitting, there was a parent, and I was trying to get the kid to be like, say thank you for your pizza slice. And he goes, nah. And then his mom was like, yeah, I'd rather, like, he's already, not, and I'm like, say please and thank you. Like,
right.
It was just weird to me that they didn't want... Like, it's not like a weird Southern thing to me. It's just like common courtesy ? So yeah, I know it's just really it's funny, and that's nice that she did that for you.
Shout out to Mama Fitz.
Mama Fitz,
who's a huge fan of yours,
who is listening hopefully as well.
She actually should probably
she'll listen to this one. She'll be like, unless Felicia's on, this is not call and response. I don't know why I've downloaded this iPhone.
Honestly, no. She does listen to call and response, but it'll be like 6 months after the fact. No shade, no tea, Mom. But
she'll get to it when she gets to it. She's a busy woman.
She is a busy lady. She is.
Immediately listen or watch the thing that I put out, but then she'll like she won't be like, hey, I watched it. It'll be like, you picked the wrong shirt. Like, it'll be
she's like immediate feedback.
You're like, no. Yeah, so this thing. So yeah, that's Margaret. But anyway, so tell me how you got here to New York.
Well, it was by way of Texas, funnily enough.
Okay.
I just like made my way back east.
You always have to go home.
I know. So let's see. Grew up dancing, right?
Wow, okay.
And wanted to dance with Alvin Ailey.
Wow.
Yeah, and...
As you should. What a great... Yes.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Took ballet, right? Everyone's like, you have to take ballet if you want to be a professional dancer. I was like, it seems very boring, but fine. And so I took it and started to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through puberty and, like, grew boobs and thighs and a butt. And they were like...
And you're like, I'm not made for this.
Yeah. And
no, I get it.
And
no,
people told me that. They were like, yeah, you're not going to be successful, essentially. And anyway, so all this to say, I quit ballet and started doing dance team at my high school. And then I was like, oh, actually, then my elementary school dance teacher passed away. And I was like, you know what? She's the one who introduced me to Alvin Ailey. And I was like, fuck it. Like...
I am going to, even though I haven't taken ballet in like 3 years, I'm going to audition for NYU Tisch.
Damn.
And it's going to be a movie montage, and it's going to be all in her honor. It's, and then like when I accept my Tony Award, it'll be for her.
It's the opening episode of Pose.
Like,
but it's you.
Truly, like truly me. Like with a little bit of smash, I don't know. It just feels like all very moving to New York, Karen Cartwright. Even though I'm Team Ivy, even though I love Catherine McPhee. Okay, so anyway, that was so much. I'm overwhelmed. Is this Pedialyte?
You have to.
So I came to audition for NYU, and I didn't get accepted. I got rejected is a better way of saying it. And
no, but it's, that's a harsh word to give it. I get it, though.
It was, because you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
During a dance audition, it very much is like you are being cut, like you're pushed out of the way, which was
horrifying. Just so everyone knows, it is horrifying to dance in New York.
It is.
Anyone that does it? Wow.
It so is. It's so intimidating. And so I cried a lot. Mm. And then I had applied to University of Texas, and my mom and I went to go visit. And I was like, I'm not going to like it. I was deciding between that and Northwestern. We got there.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
And there was just, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I've tried to articulate it before, but there was just something about the energy that I was like, oh, I just felt so at home there. And so there I went. And I actually was accepted as a math major, which always just feels weird because I hate to do the tip at dinner now. But, like, I did like math at one point. Like, I did enjoy it. Like, calculus, what? So, that first year... Sorry, this is such a long story. Is that okay?
Yes.
This is what this is for.
This is literally what this is for.
Okay. But we will get back to New York.
We need to know all the facts.
Well, it's...
I don't care if we get back to New York. I'm listening.
Okay, okay. It's because it's all connected.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, we get there, like, full-time math major. We have the orientation. And they're like, normally this is when we would have the social mixer, but you're natural science kid, so we're going to skip it. And I was like, help me. This is not my group. These are not my people. I need to socialize. So I immediately transferred into the liberal arts program to do African American studies.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, that community was so amazing. They had like a Black Studies Center, and a lot of the students overlapped with theater and dance, which was amazing.
Right. Yeah.
But it was during that year, because I was out of state, like no one from my high school went there.
Oh.
You know, everyone had come from these little pockets of random towns in Texas and like, you know, whatever, had their whole groups already. So I felt very, very lonely that first year. And I was just reading, I keep journals, so I was reading about it actually the other day. But my first year there, and I was just so, I even knew it at the time. I was like, I'm really lonely, I'm really sad. I feel like I don't have any friends here. And so I started finding different writing opportunities. I don't know why that's where my mind went, but...
you are just a very expressive person. And you're like, if I'm not going to get to express it to another person, I can get it out.
That's beautiful.
Well, like, you're like, I've got to physically do it. And that's probably how it surfaced.
Yeah. I love that, actually. Yeah, that's so true. So that's what I did that first year, was finding those opportunities and hanging out at the Black Studies Center. And then I met Elizabeth Allensworth, and she was a girl in my dorm, and she loved New York City as much as I did, and she loved Sex and the City. So we would, like, watch that on the weekends and eat our leftover Chewies Tex-Mex. Oh, sounds so good.
Chewies,
right now.
Oh my
right?
gosh. Yes,
so
yes.
good.
But okay, so who are you in that vernacular of Sex and the City?
Oh, I know. Gosh, I should be better prepared for this question.
well, you knew you were a Hufflepuff, so I have to know which one you are.
I was a hardcore Hufflepuff. I think I'm a Miranda mixed with a Carrie.
Okay. It depends on your girl group, doesn't it? It depends on your friend group at the time.
It does. I guess so. I would say I'm a Miranda with like a Carrie rising, I think. Do you know what I mean?
The moon.
Because she, like, Miranda's, like, I'm always like, oh, you don't need no man. Just, like, build your empire and work hard. So that feels very Miranda. But I do like Carrie's writing and, like, taking every experience and making it a writing thing. Because I guess I'm expressive.
There you go. Okay. So you and her, like, really enjoying that world, New York.
Yeah. Right. And so I remember we were in her dorm room, and I don't even know how we started talking about it, but like we started talking about Twitter and social media, and I don't even know, I guess Instagram wasn't around at the time, but we were just talking about like social media
And I made my first Tumblr that night and my first Twitter. I know, shout out to Tumblr, RIP.
Shout out to Tumblr.
And we just made these plans about how we wanted to move to New York, and she wanted to do fashion and I wanted to do performing art stuff. And so I guess all of these different like forces combined, I was like, I had felt bitter. It felt like a breakup with New York when I got rejected from NYU. But at this point I was like, you know what? I want to go back. Like, I love it. I loved the energy I felt when I was there. I want to go back under any circumstances. So, I applied to the theater and dance department, transferred into there, and at the same time was pursuing social media and writing stuff. So I think I went back and forth of like, I have to dedicate my life to one.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was my sophomore year, I was like, I want to go work at 17. Because this was like Carrie Diaries was happening.
Oh, no, I'm familiar exactly I know where this is headed. Okay. I know what you're talking about. The Teen Vogue era yes.
And so, and I was obsessed with the movie Devil Wears Prada. Gossip Girl was very big. Like, it was just so New York. And
we all thought we were going to have pencil skirts, tiny, like, Fendi briefcases.
Yes.
In Manhattan.
Plaid blazers. Yeah, yeah.
Internships immediately. Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. I...
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we had bold type back then, I would have been, like, out of my... Like, it's...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to intern at 17 Magazine. And I applied, and I didn't hear anything back. And then we had, like, a school trip up there for spring break. And I was like, I'm going to tweet at them and, like, email them and stalk them, essentially, so I can, like, have an office visit. And so I think someone had emailed me back, and they're like, call me when you get up there. I called them, and they're like, we can't today. We're busy, but call back tomorrow. And I had my pink blazer. It was a hot pink blazer. And I had, like, some regular black briefcase. Yes. And I had no iPhone. I had a Samsung Gravity 3, so there was no internet access. So I had my laptop with me in case they emailed me.
All right.
And
you have to have that.
I remember calling her from, like, a Starbucks or something, and she didn't answer. So I was just like, maybe if I go over to Hearst and sit in the lobby, and I'll check my email on my laptop, maybe she'll respond. I sat there for, like, 30 minutes, and she didn't. And then I was like, I'll go walk around Central Park.
Well, because that's what you would do if this were a TV show.
Exactly. Yeah. And she will call me back and it'll be great. Yeah.
Yes.
Clearly, I think my whole life's a movie. She never called me back. Cut to.
Oh, my God.
So sad. I just remember being so sad that day. But anyway, rejected again and did not get the internship. So then I went home to Austin and I was like, I'm still going to get an internship in New York and I'm going to love it. So I applied to DoSomething.org. Mm-hmm. Which is a non-for-profit that does social cause campaigns with young people. And they were looking for a social media intern. And it was like, your cover letter has to be 180... Did it used to be 140 characters for Twitter?
Maybe.
180. It's all different now. It doesn't matter. But whatever it was at the time, I think 140.
Yeah.
Your cover letter has to be 140 characters. And I was like, what? So then I was like, I'm going to make a video. Because then I can make the link, a character count.
That's amazing.
And
you're
like,
a go-getter.
So I dressed up like Janet Jackson.
And I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah, during Nasty Boys era. And I was like, no, my first name ain't Baby. It's Felicia, Miss Social Media Intern, if you're nasty. Because it just felt right. Okay, it just felt right. And then I did the whole video explaining stuff, and that was the tweet. It was like, no, my first name ain't Baby, it's Felicia, I'm a social media intern, if you're nasty, see why here, and the link. And I got it.
Wow.
Shout out to Janet.
Do something.
So yeah, so then I came up here for the summer 2012, and that's basically how I got up here, because that summer changed my life in so many different ways, that... Like, I ended up coming back the next summer for an internship, and then when I graduated, they offered me a job. And at that point, I had to decide if I wanted to pursue performance full-time or do this editorial social media thing, and I chose the editorial route because I hate rejection. I'm like, my God, that's half of what performing is, you know?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Auditioning and hearing no, and I'm so... bad at that.
Isn't it? And you know what? Everyone that enters into that world, I'm going to say everyone, I'm speaking on behalf of everyone right now, hates that. You know?
Yeah.
So it's funny that we all put ourselves in these positions of like, I really hope I get it, and I think I'm going to get it, and then I didn't get it. Like, what? I don't know anybody that's like, yeah, it's no big deal. And I'm like, it is a big deal. So, you know, it's very hard. Yeah. So you're right. You did not by any means pick a safety or like, you know, but you definitely picked something that you knew you had the satisfaction of, I know that I'm going to kill that. And like, that's comforting.
Yeah. And I you saying the expressive thing earlier really hit. Like, I feel like it was just another form of storytelling for me. So that tracks of like why I was like, you know what, I can still do this and feel excited about it.
Yeah.
Like I do with dance or theater, so.
And you're so tied to it. Did you do it in high school?
What?
Did you do theater?
No. I know. I just did dance. I just did dance growing up. I was in Fiddler on the Roof in fifth grade. My name was Anya. It's probably like not appropriate considering I'm not Jewish. I loved Fiddler on the Roof and I loved that experience so much that I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I think growing up on Disney movies and stuff, I've always loved musical theater, but that was the only thing I really did. Like, the rest was dance. Mm-hmm. Until I got to college, I started doing more musical theater stuff.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
We didn't have a theater department at my high school either.
So did you, when you moved up here, you get the internship. Did you just have, like, was it absolutely mortifying, the whole apartment experience? Because that, to me, see, you guys can't see her face. She literally just cocked her head back and
and, like, died. So for the internship, like, thank goodness for Leah Tott. Shout out to Leah Tott. Was doing an internship here. She went to UT. She did an internship at Lincoln Center. And she had a friend of a friend who had two rooms available in an apartment.
Stop.
So she got one and I got one. And
where,
I was just
Harlem?
Like,
where?
157th and Broadway.
Yes.
I'll never forget.
Yes.
And, yeah, so that was fine. Mm-hmm. And then the next summer, like, I found a place for that to sublease that summer, so it was fine. And then when I really moved up here, I had no idea, because I was like, oh, subleasing is so easy, like, so breezy. But, like, the broker, the fees, the, like, you have to move in two, like,
we've got somebody else looking at it. Can you move in tomorrow? Can you wire me $3,000?
So stressful. I know, and they're like, we need your mom's nail technicians, cousins, neighbors, doctor, like, you need all this information, like, and you're like, why?
Like,
why?
Like, oh, do you not have credit? You don't have credit? You need a guarantor. It's so stress. It is not what I had expected from the film Rent, which was what I thought.
Correct.
I said, well, I will pay the rent, so I should be fine.
I know. No, it's so true. That's whenever, like, people email me being like, I want to go to move to New York, I'm like, okay, just prepare to hate moving here, actually. Once you live here, it's fine. But, like, moving here is not great.
It's hard. You really need to try to contact somebody and be like, how can I do that?
Yeah.
And then, like, be self-sustaining.
Right.
Because nobody likes the, you know, just...
No, it's so true.
It's hard to explain to people. It's like, you have to go through it.
Is that Tom Hanks?
You know it. Okay, so she's referencing my plate wall.
I saw the mirror. I was like, that's so funny.
Behind her. Felicia's in Hoboken, if you couldn't tell, because of the clean air. But you can smell it, you guys. There's a plate on my wall, which I feel like everyone's going to reference, so I should just every time shout it out.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who married us, one of my BFFs, Kara Zelaya, she actually does social media for The Daily Coast.
Ooh.
Yes, she's amazing. We asked her to marry us. And she said, well, I feel obligated to give you my wedding gift now. Because Damon is often referenced as looking like a young, biracial Tom Hanks, a la Big. Do you see it? Do you see it now? So Tom Hanks is on this plate.
This is so funny. And honestly, yeah.
But it's weird because, like, you don't think Tom Hanks and then him, but, like, somehow people do it all the time. They're like, Turner and Hooch, that's him. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. And I'm not attracted, but am I attracted?
That's question. That's so funny.
So that's what that's about.
That's hilarious. I need them to meet and then him to be like, oh, my God. Oh, that's wild.
If they met, oof. it's looking in a mirror.
Right.
So... Can you, you attend a lot of events, you attend a lot of opening nights, you have to cover everything, which I know is just like, glamorous and exhausting all in the same time.
Yeah.
But you get to like go to everything, which is cool. You know, it's like super cool, but do you have like stories that you couldn't wait to tell your mom, or just like things that you just never thought would happen, like when you were at an opening night or a show that you went, oh wow, I wasn't expecting to love this as much as I do?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the story that immediately came to mind was what I met Whoopi Goldberg for the first time.
Stop. Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. You just dropped it on the floor. Oh, yeah, it's so heavy.
It's here. We're here. We're in it. We're going to just, like, roll around in it. Because that was amazing. It was amazing because I've looked up to her my whole life. Like, you know, and the conversation about representation is long and, like, whatever. And we get it, so we don't even get into it. But...
No, but yeah.
She was just one of those people, even though we don't look alike, but just she was just one of those people that I was like, wow, like, here's this Black woman doing something, like, I could do it too.
And she was so seen. I mean, she was. From Comic Relief with Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, shout out. shout out to Billy, my ex-husband. We're dealing with stuff, but we're on good terms. I love him. Anyways, no, but I understand because, like, when we look at that, I mean, like, how many women were on the forefront in the way that she is?
Yeah.
No, I get it.
No, for sure. And, like...
I mean, I don't get it, but I get it.
But, like, mainstream stuff. Like, exactly. Like, you know, she was doing... I mean, that Brandy, Cinderella, Whitney Houston. Like, that was my shit. Mm-hmm. Everything. I can't think of any right now off the top of my head, of course.
So, when you see her, you're like... Can't catch her. Did you expect to see her at this event?
No. So sorry. So this was the event. So it was June 2016, mm-hmm. Because the Tony Awards and the Pulse shooting had just happened.
Oh, I was at that Tony's.
You were at that
Tony's. I'm not trying to flex, but I was at that Tony's because it was. Oh my gosh.
And we
horrifying.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But and the band together, James Corden's announcement, like we were all there, and I was like, oh, this is a night because it was the Hamilton year.
Yeah.
People forget.
It was. Yeah, it was. And so the Broadway community, of course, like it, everyone was very affected by it. So they decided to do that recording of What the World Needs Now is Love. So I had to cover it because Playbill was like helping produce it or whatever. And so I was going to cover for social. This is the time when like Snapchat was big. Okay. So I'm like teaching Matthew Broderick how to Snapchat, like Bernadette Peters, like Audra. Everyone is fucking there. And I'm like, this is a lot. And I hadn't even been at Playbill for a year, so I was still adjusting to, like, quote, meeting celebrities or whatever, and teaching them how to Snapchat. And then I see that she's there. I see that Whoopi Goldberg is there. I didn't know she was going to be there, and I was like, I'm honestly, like, getting chills right now just thinking about it. I just remember being so overwhelmed. I was like, okay. Fuck.
Because it's happening, and, you, like, it's happening no matter what.
It's, like, I can't avoid this. Yeah, this is not a dream. So I was like, word. And I honestly avoided her. I was like, if she was like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go into this like little nook and hide. And so then someone else said hi to her. And I was like, no. I'm going to be mad at myself if I don't say hi to her.
Right.
And I went up. I'm literally going to cry for whatever reason. and I was just like, Miss Goldberg. And she's like, Whoopi, baby, just Whoopi. And I was like... I just want to thank you. You know, I've been such a big fan of yours. Like, just thank you for all the work you've done. Sister Act. Hello, Sister Act. Like, that is the real shit. And we hugged.
Aww.
And I was like, do you mind if we take a photo together? And we snapped a selfie.
That's a hard ask. I know that must be hard for you. Because you're like, I know how this feels. I know how this feels. I know how this feels.
I rarely do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, like, but, like, I had to.
Because you love her so much.
I do. So, anyways,
was the pic good? Was it blurry?
Yeah, it's, like, the perfect amount of blurry, but, like, oh, my God, this was so in the moment. But also, like, you could see who we are. You know what I mean? So that was epic and amazing. Like she called me baby, and I was like, yes, thank you.
It's Whoopi.
I remember my fifth grade yearbook, too, or maybe it was sometime in elementary school. I performed in a talent show, and this teacher... Oh, yeah, it was fifth grade, because I did Beat It by Michael Jackson.
I'm familiar.
And one of the teachers was like, Whoopi would have been so proud, because everyone knew how much I loved her. So just, like, that... Just thinking of that, like, cosmicness, I was just like, oh, it's too much. Just too much.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Aww. Shout out to Whoopi. We love you.
We love you,
Whoopi. I know you're listening.
Of all the people, Whoopi's listening. 100%. I don't have the same Whoopi story, but I have one. It's basically, I'll tell this story in 1,000 different ways because 1,000 things happened the night I saw the second week of Book of Mormon previews. Yes, I know. I know. Second week, my mom, long story short, actually, you know what? It's my pod. I can do it. Okay, yeah, so Margaret sees on Facebook a friend of hers is saying that the Book of Mormon is going to be a really good show because they saw it out of town. And my mom said, well, my daughter's going on a trip, like a school trip, to New York. Should I buy tickets? And he was like, exclamation points, yes. My mom is not a theater girl. She just wants to give her daughter good experiences. And God bless you, Margaret. She spends, I will not say the amount of money, but an exorbitant amount on, like, she can't justify it. Like, I'll be like, I need a toothbrush at home. And she's like, figure it out. And then, like, Book of Mormon, she's like, I will spend my left kneecap on the ticket. So
Margaret,
she doesn't know what the show's about. She's offended by a lot of things. She does not watch South Park. We are religious. Like, we we go. We're on the second row, my dude. And they've taken out the first row for the orchestra. And I'm like, we get there an hour early. Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond on our row directly behind me, Susan Sarandon, and I'm like hyperventilating because I'm like in high school. Another shout out. I am a young person and I was like, what's happening? And these celebs are coming because it's a preview, you know. This is when everybody's there. And so, like, I see Cameron Diaz.
No.
Whoopi's there.
What?
And I'm like, what do I want? Because I'm like, this is where I'm a Georgia girl. I don't see people. See people.
Of course.
I'm sitting with mom. Hasadiga Eboy comes on and people don't know to laugh. They don't know that they can laugh yet because they don't understand that this is all like ha ha ha. And everybody, there's like a moment of break and then everyone gives themselves permission to laugh at it. There was literal, I've never seen it happen in theater where everyone goes, oh my God. Right. Because they freaked out.
That's so funny.
Because they don't know if they can do it.
Yeah.
This is the first time I think in a long time that where people were like, what? And then it's intermission and I'm like sweating because I can see what's happening around me. The show's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And then I said, Mom, and I'm like holding her hand like a crazy pants. I was like, Mom, what if my favorite celebrity's here? And she goes, who? And I was like, Steve Martin. And she was like, Chris, Steve Martin's not here. Quit being weird. She turns around two rows behind me.
You're lying.
Steve, in my glasses that I'm wearing right now because I got them at the time to match him. That's because I just seen him on his bluegrass tour playing banjo. I can't make this up. And I was like, oh my God, Steve's here. And like after the show, I couldn't even watch the second act because I kept looking behind me to see if he was laughing, to know if it was good comedy. I'm crazy.
I love that.
We leave and I'm at the stage door. Josh Gad, Andrew Gannell, Reynolds, nobody's at the stage door because there was no fandom yet. So they're just talking to me. So sweet. Whoopi comes out in head-to-toe black sweats and orange Crocs. And I was like, you are a GD legend.
Yeah,
and she's only talking to the African-American members of the company. She refuses to talk to anybody else. She's like, I mean, I'll get to you guys later. But she's like, I have things to talk about because, like, this is important for, like, African culture. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa. So I didn't, like, talk or touch or take a pic. But just seeing her in that presence, I was like, wow. And just, like, knowing what she was doing. It was very cool.
But I'm like very proud of you for not going up to Steve Martin and being like,
dashed out of the theater. And then I physically ran into, oh my gosh, Ant-Man. Why am I not having his name come to me? Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd. And I was just like, he's cool, but like Clueless? And like,
hello Clueless.
Yes. But it wasn't like the level that he's at now. I tell him this story at the Ant-Man 2 premiere and he's crying laughing because I said, I knew I'd see you in another light. Like, or something. He's like, wow, you're weird, but you're nice.
That's so funny. But he appreciates good comedy too.
Yeah, and then he introduced me to Michael Cerveris, which is who I was really hyperventilating about.
The Who's Tommy. See you Broadway 2021.
That was such a long-winded story. I'm so sorry.
I loved it. And shout out to Margaret, though.
Yeah. Shout out to Margaret, who changed my life in so many ways, besides giving birth. Right. Let's talk about gay stuff.
Yeah! That feels right.
Sometimes, you know, when you, like, you connect with someone and then you're like, oh, I get it. And then they post something and like, oh, no, I really get you. That's how I felt, like, sometimes with some of your things. Mm-hmm. And, like, you just said by teen. 2020 by teen is this year.
Yeah.
How would you describe, or you can just tell me a story about your connection to queerness, your connection to queer culture, any of the following things.
I love that. That's a great way of phrasing that. I love people is like the short answer to that. I identify as a queer woman, and I say queer specifically because there's all of these like arguments currently about
what is queer,
that and like bisexual versus pansexual, and oh, is pan making bisexual transphobic? I'm like semantics. My mom's an English teacher, like it's too much. I love everybody, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation, honestly.
Right.
Like, the amount of crushes I've developed on, like, gay men who would never want to have sex with me is very high.
Yeah.
So I have said pansexual, but I don't want to be transphobic for bisexual people. So
sure.
Bisexual, pansexual, queer, I'm all here for it. So that's that.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's funny because, yeah, like, we're trying so hard to, like, tread lightly on terminologies because, of course, like, and we should have everyone feel accepted and loved. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, yeah, it's, like, can get a little difficult because you're like, well, I just like everybody. Because that's how, yeah, I understand. It's like, that's how I feel. I just,
yeah.
Like, no, I can just like everybody and that's okay. And I don't have to explain that to anybody and I don't have to, you know, justify anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always say, like, Damon is my, like they said, you may kiss your bride. And I'm like, yes, he has very high cheekbones. I could have been with a woman and that's okay. You know, like, he just happens to have the parts he has, but like, it could have been anybody, my dude.
Yeah.
So, no, sure. I get that. Yeah.
I mean, are you biracial?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, Japanese American.
Right. Okay.
So it's a lot of things.
Well, and the reason that I asked that is because I have felt duality because of being biracial my whole life.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Of not fitting into either racial group, to understanding both racial groups on topics, and I don't know if that informed my queerness, but it's this thing of like, oh my god, like, there are so many identities out there, like, why would I just limit myself? I don't think I, Felicia, could limit myself to one gender because of my experiences. Of liking one gender.
Right. Because you're like, well, I have all these experiences with a bunch of different lives and, like, parts of you that are this and then, like, this race and that. Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I think because trying to understand my own duality and understand the nuances of racial groups, like, I find myself applying that to all people. And so then I find myself attracted to people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've never actually tried to really articulate that thought, but
was there ever, like, a show or, like, can you tell me a story of, like, did you ever see a show or experience a movie or just maybe in life where you were like, oh, that might be, like, how I feel? Do you know what I mean? Can I say that? That was kind of convoluted.
No. The about queerness?
Yes.
Well, I will say, this isn't something that I necessarily think described how I felt, but I think one of my queer sexual awakenings would have been Motocross, the Disney Channel original movie.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh, I wonder if that is a true story for a lot of people.
Do you know?
Oh, yes.
Because I just think of,
can you tell the people a little bit about Motocross?
Oh, my God. If y'all haven't watched Motocross, y'all ain't right. And you need to pause this podcast and go watch it and then immediately come back.
They're, like, Googling Motocross.
As fast as your fingers can type. Like, it's iconic. It's a cinematic masterpiece.
Mark, you're never going to watch it, so
it's like the opposite of what Mark loves, which is joy and happiness. Yes, Mark, I said it. So, anyway, Motocross is a retelling, an adaptation of Twelfth Night. Two twins chilling in California. The brother, well, I guess they both do motocross, but he's like the competitor. He breaks his leg because they're fooling around in the yard, even though their dad told them not to. Mm. And so she's like, I can't let this ruin my family. I have to compete as him. And the mom's like, yeah, I'm a badass feminist. Like, I'll help you. And so she cuts her hair. And they go, I'm leaving out some details, but they go and they compete, and she's just, well, at first she's not very good, but then Riley Smith, who is also seen in New York Minute, who is very sexy, trains her, and she gets really good, and she, like, beats everybody. And again, there's more details, but, like, hashtag no spoilers, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, all of this to say, I think back to that movie because, one, they totally queer it up with gender. There is sexual tension between Riley Smith and, I can't think of the actress's name, Alana something, but Andrea. Mm-hmm. Andy. And, yeah. So, anyways, I love that movie, and I think that was just one of the first, because I was definitely attracted to Andrea without knowing it. Mm-hmm. Especially when she's masculine presenting. But, yeah.
But you were like, you couldn't tell. You were like, I don't know if I just, I like that person for, I want to be their friend. No, I don't.
It's like that's the thing. So keep going.
No. You keep going.
But that's the thing. Like, and I've been reconciling with this too. Let's get deep. A lot of the women I've been attracted to have been blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm like, I've always wanted to look like that. Have I always wanted to look like that because I was attracted to them, or am I attracted to them because I've always wanted to look like that?
Like an emulation. Like, I want to, yeah, okay.
Like, I used to be obsessed with Hilary Duff, and I'm sure that was a queer awakening that I didn't realize at the time, too. And it's like, obviously there's all of the stuff of, like, white supremacy and, like, white beauty ideals.
We are just fresh off of Slave Play talking about this. You know that's what we're going after.
So much.
Yeah.
And, like, there's all of these things, like, all of these layers, but with that in mind, like, it's kind of like Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, too. But anyway, with all of that in mind, what, like, I don't know. It's all so much.
Can I just tell you, just while you get your breath about this, because I understand. It was my senior year of high school, and I went to the bathroom. At the time, TBH was, I know, you guys are going to hear this, and you're going to be like, shut up. You're going to look at my photo, and you're going to be like, shut up, girl. But I was very much bullied at the time. Very, very much bullied, which I don't want to get into right now. But for whether or not it was my fault or not, it was egregious. Like, a lot of things were being done to my things and me. And so, in the bathroom, I remember going to the bathroom that day on the fine arts hallway. And in the bathroom, on one of the stalls in the back, which I think is still there, which is upsetting, in Sharpie, it said, Grace, my last name, Hearts, Vaginas. And because I was also, like, not really hooking up with the guys that it's just not something I wanted to do. So I was not, and thus they weren't hooking up with other people. But I was, like, not doing that. So then people were like, oh, she's a lesbian for sure. But I remember looking at it and then bawling because someone would have the audacity to write that in a bathroom stall. And then I went, I'm not actually offended by that, mainly because, well, you shouldn't be if you like vaginas. Like, it's not an offensive thing,
right?
Or just in general, like, vaginas aren't offensive, but it was just the idea of, like, oh, well, maybe somebody's trying to tell me something. So I just, like, sat there and I was like, oh, and I just, like, I got up out of the stall, I, like, wiped my tears a little bit, and then I kind of, like, just never, you know, I wasn't like, can someone take that off the stall? I was like, you know what, whatever. Like, right. Someone had the need to do that. And I was like, eh. It was on the tampon box too, which I thought was funny.
Good for you for, like, but that's, like, such a mature reaction to that, I feel like.
It was just hard. But yeah. That was one, the first time anybody ever said or did anything like that. And I went, okay, maybe. I'm just gonna go watch the L Word and see what happens.
Oh, that's so funny.
Which, thank God we have that revival.
Yeah.
I say revival as if it's a Broadway show.
That was an appropriate response. You're right.
Embarrassing.
Theater in all life. That's in high school, kids can be mean. Even though you're right, like, that's not an offensive thing to be said about you. Like, just the fact that someone was doing that to hurt you, just like,
it's just weird. It was honestly, now I'm like, that person's weird.
You know?
Oh, well, it might be one of my friends. What if it was just, like, a hilariously cute prank they were trying to pull? It's like, that didn't work. Why did you own that thick of a Sharpie? Anyways, like who gets the wide tip? Anyways, which, another, okay, so let's talk about wide tips. I don't know. Do you have a story about a wine dip?
Oh my god, this is so funny.
So this is the part of the show that I didn't prepare you for, which I'll just cut out, I guess, any of this if I want to. So this is the part of the show where it's called Story, Story, Die, or Short Story. And you are going to, you can go first, I can go first.
Okay.
And one of us gives like a random suggestion of anything.
Okay.
You can say a word, phrase, or song. Oh, you and I could do like weird song stuff. And then you have 2 minutes to, or I have 2 minutes to just tell me a story about that thing that makes you think of that thing. It doesn't even have to include it.
Okay.
I could say donut to you and you could tell me a story about phalanges. I don't know why I said that. But you know what I'm saying?
But I like it. It's very yes and.
It's yes and because I feel like we deserve to have the freedom to tell a silly story.
Absolutely.
And it could be true or false.
Story, story, die, or short story.
Yes. Let's. Okay. We can just say it's short story time. It's short story time, ladies and gents.
Okay.
We're ready. Do you want to go first? I want to go first.
Like, do I give a word? I'll give a word first.
You want to give a word and then I'll tell a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Go for it.
I can't even prepare for the word.
You're like, I can't do the word.
Tom Hanks.
Okay. Okay, so I've been watching a lot of Weeds. Mm-hmm. And, this might tie into the core. Okay, so... Okay, so I've been watching a lot of Weeds. Have you seen Weeds? Okay, not important. Anyways, I've been watching a lot of Weeds. And the girl that plays Mary Louise Parker, who is a queen among queens, who is a goddess on stage. I will watch anything and everything she does. Are you going to see How I Learned to Drive? I will be there. We should go. Anyways, so Weeds. So I'm watching it and I'm like, this girl that plays her friend, she's like conniving. She's also like a hotter older lady. Like, let's do it. She's so cool. She's so funny. And then I'm like starting to go a deep dive like on her history, and I was like, she was in the Flintstones movies. Yes, opposite Rosie O'Donnell. So then I'm like, now I'm gonna deep dive. Then I watched By My Lonesome, the Flintstones movie, the other day because I was like, nostalgia. And then I was like, hold on, Halle Berry in this movie. Oh my god, this was like one of my like weird childhood, probably sexual awakenings. Yeah. And then I looked at a photo of Damon and I started to weep. And then I went back to watching Weeds and I was just like, oh my god, she's so good. But she stars opposite in Big, and that is the end of my story.
Bravo! I loved that.
Oh my
god, I forgot about the Flintstone movie. Like, I have not watched it in years.
Oh, if you watch it now, you're like, oh my.
What streaming service is it on?
It's on Netflix, and it's also directed by Steven Spielberg. There's so many funny Easter eggs in that movie.
Shout out to that film.
Yeah. Rick Moranis!
Oh my god.
So many people. Kyle MacLachlan, if you're a fan of Sex and the City, hello.
Whoa. I need to. Netflix, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
I need to revisit.
No other streaming service allowed.
That's crazy.
Thank you for employing my husband for several months, but don't really appreciate that he's in Canada. Okay, so it's time for your section of short story.
All right.
Oh my god. And Felicia's word is, I have to say it, it's SpongeBob.
It doesn't have, but I want to relate to SpongeBob, even though it doesn't have to, right?
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay, I'm just going to tell the story of the closing performance.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the first and only to this date final performance I've ever been to on Broadway. Talk about a Broadway event that was just, like, life-changing. Can I give context before I tell the story? I'm just going to talk. I did not expect, like, SpongeBob on Broadway. Let me make that very clear. Like,
you were not ready.
I enjoyed the cartoon as a kid, whatever. But I was like, Ethan Slater, I love you. Like, that whole cast, I love you. Tina Landau, like, that, I sat down, and by the end of that show, the first time I saw it, I was like, how have we been living without the show? How, like, it was so joyful. Every element was in sync, from the costumes to the scenic design to the direction to the actor to the, like, music, to all of it just worked. And I was like, whoa, what? I did not expect to like it this much. Cut to 7 shows later. I'd seen it 7 times. I guess the last time I saw it was the 7th time. But me and my friends were like, we have to go see the closing performance because we love it so much and it's just brought us so much joy and we've cried so many tears over it. In fact, sorry, the performance after it was, they announced that they were closing, Mama Fitz and I went to, because she was in town, so we gotta go.
And they had just announced it, like, 2 days before. Literally cried the whole opening number because I was like, this show's going to end and that's so sad. Anyway, final performance. Ethan Slater got, like, the biggest applause that lasted, like, 5 minutes. Mike Dobbs, I think his name is, the sound designer, got his own, like, standing O. The final moment and best day ever. Ethan Slater, I'm in love with you, clearly. Like, his voice cracked just a little bit from emotion while he was, like, looking at everyone in Bikini Bottom, and I lost it. It was, like, it was such a community. It was such a family. They brought so much joy to everyone. I love you guys. Good night.
That's so pure.
Sponsored by Pedialyte.
Okay. Well, now, yeah.
I feel like that was the worst story I've ever told in my entire life.
You know what, though? You have so much emotion behind it.
Okay.
That it's translating.
I just, like, I don't know if I get caught in the details of stories, but I just, like, think of things that I think are important and yes. That might not be, that I should
cut out. Bullet points. That's all that it's about. No. People enjoy you. You're a light unto us all. And with that, we would bid you all good night. This has been Tell Me on a Sunday with Felicia Fitzpatrick.
I love you, Grace.
Yay, I love you. I'm sorry you don't love my cat.
Bye. Shout out to cats.
Shout it out. Not the movie musical, which we will be at. Okay, bye.
And one time.
There's more to the story.
The kind of story we need right now. Story.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.